Today in the Arrowverse, we're going to meet a very special aviator. And you're not going to believe his job.
I'm Jeff Rowland.
And I'm Cleo Satterfield.
Today in studio we have Kelly Mahon. You may have seen his picture on the cover of Sport Aviation at some point last year. And Kelly works at the Mid-America Flight Museum in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And you're just not going to believe what the things he gets to do are.
Kelly, tell us about the museum and how you got there.
It's been a long road to get there. It's a beautiful museum with lots of airplanes, but it started with a guy that just loved airplanes, and he bought what he could afford and started with a J3 and continued to pick up an airplane here or there. His first real museum quality airplane was a Travelair 6000 that it needed to be restored the day he bought it. Yep. And he still flew it about 12 more years before we took it down for restoration. But that was just the start. And he's built a team of people, and he's continued to grow airplanes. We now have 70 airplanes, 72
oh my
airplanes.
Goodness.
And the goal has always been the same. His number one thing is honoring veterans. So we've got several warbirds. His favorite to share is a DC-3, a C-47, Sky King. And it has an amazing documented history, but we have another DC-3, which was actually General Hap Arnold's airplane throughout the war, and it was a C-41, the only C-41 built, and it wasn't accepted like it was, and that's how the C-47 came to be, but they kept it. We now have that airplane. So honoring veterans, mentoring the youth, and even right now I have a young man working for me, and he's cleaning airplanes or filling oil jugs, and so keeping that part alive, and then supporting our community. That's really the big thing. We used to talk about preserving aviation history.
Right.
But we also have cars, we have tractors, we have sewing machines.
At the museum?
Yes.
Oh, really?
And so the airplanes are definitely the big draw. And everything flies. That's what really makes us unique, is out of 72 airplanes, I'd say about 60 of them today could roll out and go fly without any issues.
My goodness. I want to address that one thing you said about the community. We hear this a lot about giving back to the community. And it's sort of a cliche, but I've been out there, and I'm going to tell you, this is a great example of a small town with an airport that's providing a service to the community that is absolutely not just essential because emergency services can get in there if they need to, et cetera, but it provides so much to the community in education and honoring the veterans. Like you said, it's truly a poster child of cooperation with the city and an airport. And Scott, the owner, Mr. Glover, is very much involved in that. And it's very humbling to talk to a man like that and see this in action. When you talk about 72 airplanes, give us an example of the range of aircraft that you have. You said you got two DC-3s. Well, there's a lot of DC-3s out there. Tell us a little bit more about your fleet.
Okay, well, we have our oldest airplane is 1925, a Waco 9 with an OX-5 engine of 90 horsepower. Our newest aircraft, I think it's a 2019, and that's a Bell 505 helicopter. But we have Vietnam helicopters like a Cobra, which is noteworthy because there's only five in civilian hands, but our Huey is our queen of the fleet.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
for the helicopters, and ours is a Vietnam veteran, and it has 2,000 hours in country. It was shot down 3 times. The stories that it has are pretty spectacular. The crew chief, when the Army has a helicopter, they give it to the crew chief. Right. Pilots come and go, gunners come and go. The crew chief is still alive, David Riley. He's one of us. He lives in Indiana. We still consider it his helicopter. And when he looks at the bullet holes that are still in the floor,
wow,
he can tell you why this one looks different than that one. Well, he was at a different fire base, and they had different chemicals when he was patching the floor. And all of his stories are just amazing.
Holy moly.
So when somebody goes to visit Mid-America Flight Museum, do they walk around by themselves, or does someone tour them and give them these stories? I mean, do we get to learn that?
We have volunteers. The museum is only open on Saturdays from 8 to noon, and we have volunteers there that know 90% of the stories and walk around and share these with people. We typically have 10 or 12 people there working on the days.
Also, let me address that weekend thing. So I've come out there before, and you've been given rides in?
A New Standard, yeah. The New Standard biplane is very interesting because people ask me all the time, what's your favorite airplane? Well, the standard joke is whatever's at the front with gas in it.
Yeah.
Well, that was before we bought a New Standard. The New Standard is the standout airplane of our fleet because I can share it with the most number of people for the fewest number of gallons in the fewest hours.
How do you share that with the most number of people?
And
I'm sure they don't know what a New Standard is.
Yeah, so we give airplane rides. If the weather's good and I'm around, then we pull out something and we give airplane rides. We don't charge anything for that. There's no admission at the door. We don't charge for rides. But we don't do it every week either. But I think my record was from 8 in the morning until 12:30 in the afternoon, I hauled 60 people.
Wow.
And there was one lady there, a great-grandmother, 94 years old, and I gave her her first ever airplane ride.
Open cockpit?
Yep. That was pretty special. And it used to be that I would vary the flight around a little bit. I would read the crowd. Mm-hmm. And now everybody gets the same ride. I do two really big, fairly aggressive wingovers with everybody. Whether you are the 94-year-old great-grandmother, or if you're the 28-year-old veteran that has his service dog sitting next to him, you get the same ride.
What's a wingover?
Well, for commercial standards, we would call it a lazy eight. We pull the nose up and do a 180-degree turn.
Used to call them whiffer deals.
Yeah.
Well, that still doesn't tell you. So come up and then just go down?
Yep. And the way that I do it is if everybody's happy on this first one, the second one becomes a quarter of a clover leaf.
Yeah.
So that's a 270-degree turn. That takes me back to the house. So it's really funny when you talk about the ride. It's maybe a 10-minute flight and a 15-minute experience, and nobody has ever complained about it being short.
How many people are in the plane with you?
Four at a time in an open cockpit. So four people up front, me in the back. They forget about me in the back, and that's my favorite part. Somebody in the front will go to take a selfie, and I've always got the airplane trimmed out, so my arms go out. And they take the picture, and then they start reviewing the picture, and then they get mad, and they glare at me, and we go on.
That's hilarious.
But, if you give rides at a Stearman, you're entertaining the crowd the whole time. But when you put four people together, they totally forget you're even there.
What a great thing he's doing with that. You got some helicopters, and you got a New Standard, and you got a couple of DC-3s. You got some seaplanes as well, right?
Oh, we've got the seaplane figured out. We've got our queen is the duck. We have a Grumman duck, and there's four of those left in flying condition. Ours is really the only one that's currently actively flying. And everybody asks, how often do you put it in the water?
That's a good
every
question.
Time we go.
You better believe it.
The lake is 3 miles away, and every time we take off, we go in the water. Now, where are you going to get experience with a duck? There's no place. So real early on, I set up the rule with Scott that we don't ever haul anybody twice, and we never go empty. So that way we're always taking somebody new every time that we fly it. And that's the only way that we can get these numbers up.
You take people for rides in the Grumman duck?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I just thought you did that in the New Standard.
No, there was confusion one time with one gentleman, and it was really funny because Scott told him that he was going to get to fly the duck. That's what he heard. Well, we don't do that, but he was going to get a ride, and he was fairly upset by that. And I had to explain to him, do you understand that it's really hard to get in the back seat, and if you fall and break your arm, it was on a duck. I had to explain to him how special the airplane is. No matter what happens in this, it was with a duck. And I ended up letting him do takeoffs and landings on the lake from the back seat. So, I mean, he got to fly the airplane, and it was really a big deal, but it was just really funny. He still was struggling with it because he's a very capable pilot, can fly anything, but it's just the rarity and special nature of this airplane. And once I said, hey, you know, my pride can take it. If you need to log this time as instruction given, we'll do that. And, and he got the biggest glow on his face, and he went over and wrote down all the information. That's how it's going in his logbook.
That's really good.
But we have others. We have an albatross, and we have a super cub on amphibs that we all love. We have a clown car in the group. We have the one and only Piper Apache on floats. And just like you respond, that's how everybody does. And the whole time you fly it, you're smiling.
I bet you
and
are.
It's a great airplane. And then recent acquisition is really my favorite airplane of the time. Everybody loves a Mustang. And, well, we bought the prototype Fleetwing Seabird from 1936. And it's a spot-welded stainless steel airframe. And everything you look at, it's got fabric-covered wings, but the spars, the ribs, everything is stainless. Most of the hardware is stainless.
Wow.
And it's a hulled amphibian with a pylon-mounted engine, and it's a Jacobs. And I just recently flew it home from Sacramento, California, all the way to Mount Pleasant, Texas, and had my son Curtis with me. The interesting part there is Curtis is my oldest son, and his name is Curtis Reed. And the propeller that's on the Seabird is a Curtis Reed.
Of course it is.
And on the way home, we landed in the Colorado River between the mountains, and we just had such a great time. And what an amazing experience to get to share these airplanes. The Seabird is special because nobody knows of it.
Yeah.
And we haven't ever seen videos of it on the water, so we've already shot videos on the water. I want to share it. So here's this really rare airplane that hadn't really been flown much in the last 30 years. I went ahead and put new radios in it, including ADS-B, and we want this airplane to be shared.
Oh, so wonderful. So out of all these aircraft, you fly some of them. Do you have other guys that fly some of them? I've known Kelly a long time. I helped him get his private pilot license after somebody said, finish him up, Jeff. But I didn't know what I was inventing.
Yep.
I didn't know what I was getting into with this guy. Tell me about their flying ops there at Mid-America.
Yeah, we've got three pilots. Scott flies everything in the fleet. Andrew is his chief pilot and corporate pilot. So we also have a corporate jet. And so that's really Andrew's job. The neat part is, you guys know, but Scott and I have been friends for 31 years. Well, Andrew, his first ever logbook entry was Scott.
Oh, man.
And it was a Young Eagles flight.
Yeah.
And he said, this kid can fly, and pulled the logbook out, signed it off, and gave it to him. And he went on to Southeastern Oklahoma State and got his licenses and ratings and came back. And then re-met Scott when all of aviation was shut down during 9/11, Scott started going to the RC field and got reacquainted with Andrew. And so it's really neat, you know, when people wonder, how do we get in? How do we start to be a part of this program? Well, Andrew's going to say you have to start 20 years ago, you know, and I'm going to say 31 years ago. And it really is a family thing. We've still got more airplanes to talk about with vintage airplanes and warbirds, but I really want to talk about it's hard work that gets you these great opportunities. I have people all the time that call and say, if you ever need help flying, you know, give me a call. And, well, the first thing is, I don't even know your name. I would call my friends. I mean, I know Jeff. Let's call Jeff.
Yeah.
But I'm a pilot, and as a pilot, with a little bit of effort, I can fly 10 airplanes in a day. As a mechanic, there's no way that I can keep 10 airplanes a day airworthy.
Not enough hours.
So once you start figuring out where I need your help, then we can start to talk a bit more. And it's so funny. Well, I don't know how to work on airplanes. Well, yeah, no, it's lucky for you, I have 42 trash cans. You know, it's like you just show up with the right heart and mindset of I'm showing up to help you. If you do that, everybody rewards hard work. It's just nobody wants to give hard work.
Yeah, right. You got a point. And when you weed through the guys that do, they're really worth keeping.
Absolutely.
You know, you said it wasn't the first plane. The first plane was a Cub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then the next plane was a Travelair?
Yeah, Travelair 6000.
Okay, and that it needed to be restored. Do you buy your planes, hey, Scott found a new plane, we're going to buy it and start flying it? Or do you buy projects?
We buy flying airplanes.
Okay.
That one was bought during the time when Scott bought what he could afford.
Got it.
And so the last signature I put in that before the restoration, I said, Scott, see the tail end of this signature? When we get to the end of this, it needs to be wherever you want it restored.
Yeah.
And I thought that he would spend a year thinking about where it needed to go. And he said, I already know where it's going. And I said, great. And it was Urbana, Ohio. We've got some friends up there that all started around, this is Scott's heart. A guy, this is before Barnstormers. It was a trade-a-plane deal. A guy calls up on a bird dog that Scott had for sale. And he came down to look at it, and Scott really liked him. And it's like, you know, this is not the airplane for you. And Scott actually started making phone calls and found the bird dog that Jim Bob still owns.
The bird dog's a plane?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a real bird dog.
Nope.
Okay. Well,
I appreciate that.
This is our spectrum of small knowledge and a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. So that relationship got us into various events at the Air Force Museum with the B-25 and Sky King, and he even did a flight with the Mustang. And so we've got this group up there, and then there was a local restorer that had finished his last restoration and didn't know where he was going next, and we hired him full-time, and the Travelair 6000 was his first project for us. So that was 3.5 years, 30,000 man-hours, 60 volunteers, and went to Oshkosh in 2021. Now, the key to that is 2020, Oshkosh didn't happen. So now you got 2 years of fresh restorations that you're competing against. And the 6000 brought home grand champion for the vintage.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really, really special airplane. All of the stories around that are spectacular. My favorite, though, is the seats in it. We open the door and everybody says wicker. And it's not a wicker seat. It's a process. I think it's called Wrath, where it's paper wrapped around wire.
Wow.
And then when it's done, it looks like wicker. Way more durable. Well,
oh, wow.
There's one lady that knows how to do that and that anybody can find. And, oh, she's only 25 miles from where the airplane's being restored. So she comes out and looks at it, and she says, well, I'll sign up for it, but only one seat per month. So that tells you the type of work that it is. And it's real quick to start counting, and there's 7 months worth of seats in there.
Huh.
But the detail work, I mean, we've got an incredible crew. Dayton has so much aviation history, and aviation continues to thrive there. So there's plenty of retired help that's looking for places to spend their days. And it's just magnificent. And we've got several people that came to us through the local high school programs. And so two sisters started working and doing fabric work, and their mother started coming. And she started coming first to cook baked goods and bring stuff to make everybody happy. And she's now a full-time member of our staff, and she's really good at fabric work.
We're back to that community service thing. Man, it is just shows in spades. I tell you, there's not enough time in this day to get to all the great things that go on out there. First time I went out there, Kelly goes, hey, you want to ride in the Mustang or one of the tri-motors? We'll pull it out. I'm like, oh, man, slow down. It was overwhelming. They have three tri-motor piston aircraft, and the DC-3s, all these V-planes, helicopters, fighters, Lockheed Lodestars. I'm a big airplane guy. I love that airplane. And it's just an unbelievable place. And didn't I say at first, didn't Cleo say at first, look where this guy gets to work, and he gets to fly all these airplanes if he wants to. You also have a B-17 that's in some refurb right now.
Yep.
And I just can't say enough. Anybody that gets out there on Saturday should check this place out and support it if you can. It is an absolutely wonderful place. The owner, I don't know how you could improve on this, Kelly. You've been very fortunate. We won't go into your circumstances getting here. We're just thankful that you are. And Cleo, I think, had one more question about your upcoming events or something.
Yes. Do you have any special, are there special days or special events at the?
We really don't do that many special days for the museum. We mostly go out and support other events. So we'll take an airplane to the WASP reunion, and we'll go to Oshkosh, of course.
I'm going to tell you one special day. You said you weren't open right now. So when is the day that you open?
Okay.
That'd be a special day.
Yeah. It's the same every year, the first weekend of April through Thanksgiving every year. So you can just count on that.
I appreciate it, Kelly. This has been overwhelming. Anybody, like I said, I encourage you to go out there to Mount Pleasant and check this place out on Saturday. If you're lucky, the weather's good, and you get a ride in a new standard biplane. Now, how many of those do they make? Five?
No, actually, it's another interesting story because they built them twice. In 28 and 29, they built them, and the sole purpose for that airplane's design was as a ride giver.
Barnstorming airplane.
Yep,
that's
it
right.
Was a ride giver. They brought it back in 40 and 41, and they put a hopper in the front, and it was a crop duster.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those unique airplanes. I think you were telling me one time, you could actually make money with this airplane, which is unusual in this world.
Yep, and I think there's seven or eight left flying today.
Yeah.
And so
we're fortunate to have one local here in Fort Worth, Texas, as well. And they're very rare, and they are very unique. Unique specimen. I hope everybody gets to take a ride in one sometime. Kelly, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate this.
Well, thanks for having me.
No worries.